Hi, K-Watchers. It's Leanne.
Hi, everyone. It's Juliet. Welcome to the K-Watch Party.
Today, we have Lovely Runner episodes 5 and 6. Did someone order extra cheese on their drama pizza this week? The Umbrellas make a return in these two episodes with a schmaltzy love fest in episode 5 and a countdown to the wheelchair in episode 6. We cringed slash loved every second of it. Let's dive in. Good morning, Juliet. How are you?
I'm great. You know,
Are you making an active effort not to tell us you're tired every
week?
Yes,
I really am. A few episodes ago, we were talking about taking moments to take a mental snapshot of what's going on so that you can retain these memories and really enjoy the time. And I'm trying to do that. So that's where I am at. How are you?
So you're in forced enjoyment of your life mode.
Yeah. We're thick in summer camp, summer mode, which means kids come home early. There's just like so much happening that I tend to get wrapped up in it. So I'm trying to take a pause. Like, this is great. This is fun. We're having a good time.
We need to have like a moment of zen for you every Friday on this podcast.
I know. Uh-huh. Moment of silence. How are you?
Feeling actually quite refreshed. It is the first day of summer, which is, we've been waiting for this. It's the longest day of the year today. We also had Wednesday off. It was a federal holiday, so my company had it off. And it was so nice to take a Wednesday off. If we could have Wednesdays off every week,
yes,
I would go to work every Thursday and Friday with gusto because it feels so nice to just take a break.
I feel like there should be a campaign for that.
Well, your kids had Wednesday off, right?
Yeah, like, so I had Wednesday on, which meant I spent all day with my son and two of his friends and their moms, and we went cherry picking.
I'm shocked you haven't come to my house with 10 pounds of cherries for me.
Well, I was going to, and then my kids just housed two containers worth. And I was like, I was going to share this with other people. And they like will not let me give it to other people, which this is not a good quality I'm seeing in my kids.
Was it fun?
It was actually very fun.
Okay.
It's also just a fun dynamic to see my son with his friends and listen to their conversations. And there was something I've been dying to tell you because my son has been really obsessed with the F word lately. Like, he is on a mission to find out what it is. He's heard of it.
Right.
He knows it exists. He knows it's a bad word. Nobody will tell him what it is, or they don't really know what it is. They just know it exists, right? So he's six. He's in kindergarten. So he's like, what is the F word?
And this
he even asked me. This must drive him crazy. I know. And I can imagine. I was tempted to tell him what it was just so that it deflates
the importance in his mind. Yeah. Now it's so huge.
And the magnitude is now, so great. So, and he knows it's associated with the middle finger. So he asked me, he's like, is it finger?
Is it finger?
Which is so funny. And it's also really fun to see him a little tortured about it because he's like, he's also testing me. He's like, do you know what the F word is?
It's funny because we used to grow up with dictionaries in our house.
Yeah.
He would put it in the dictionary going one by one on the F section.
I guess if he was clever enough, he would have asked Google because that's our dictionary now. Anyway, he's been on this mission for the last few weeks and he's really being influenced by kids who have older siblings. And by older, I mean like, you know, second grade. Because those are the kids that know because they've heard it or they've been exposed to it from their older siblings.
Yep.
But most of his close friends are all older siblings. So they are all like kind of in the dark.
They're a band of dummies.
Exactly.
Older kid dummies.
We came over to your house over the weekend for Father's Day. And your younger daughter being just a few months older than my son, but having an older sibling, but also having parents who curse a lot.
In front of them.
Basically revealed the secret to him.
She told him.
So he said to me this week, he goes, Mom, what is fuck ring? Because he didn't quite catch all the intonations. He thinks it's fuck ring, which I mean, I guess he got the gist of it, right? And I was like,
I mean, technically fuck ring could be a verb of fuck. No, fuckering around.
Yeah, fuckering around, I guess.
I guess, but yes, go
could,
on.
Yeah. It could also be a sex toy.
Yeah.
Anyway, and so then he asked me that and I was like, I'm not sure. What is that word? Where did you hear that? And he goes, well, your daughter, says her name. She says that her dad uses it a lot and it's such a bad word. It's so bad that you're never supposed to use it. But what does it mean?
Oh, no. That's so funny because I wonder if my daughter really said fuckering and he didn't mishear and that's what she really thinks it is.
Yeah, because maybe the way that you're, she says her dad used a lot, which I know he does, right? Yes. And the way he says it maybe so fast that she's like not picking up.
Yeah. No, you know what I think? He says, fuck me. I think that's what it is. And she hears it as fuckering.
Oh, the minds of these children.
I know. And it's cute because, you know, you think because he says it a lot, she would be desensitized to it.
Yeah.
But she really does not like bad words. If you say it in front of her, she really freaks out. So I don't know if you like, you don't make it a big deal.
Right.
She actually hates it.
That's what my husband and I were talking about because we don't curse that much in our, you know, daily conversation. And he and I were like, maybe we need to do it more because clearly your kids don't like it.
And they don't want to say
it. And they get quite offended when their dad does it. Whereas my kid is like, what is the word? Please, somebody tell me.
It's like the houses with candy all around.
Yes.
Right? Like the more you hide the candy, the more the kids are obsessed over the candy. Right. We have a friend in the neighborhood who just has candy all over their house.
Yeah.
And their kids walk by it, don't care.
Right.
But then the kids who don't have candy at their house are just like little fiends.
They're
like
stealing
it off the table.
Yes.
Yeah. Same with the F word, I guess. Well, I apologize for my little shit daughter bursting this bubble for your innocent, sweet son.
Sweet, naive brain.
But I also do love that it's the absolute wrong word.
Yes, I know. I mean, really, your husband should be apologizing.
I was going to say about fruit picking that it's always, in our experience, seemed like such a great idea and seemed so fun. And then you get there and it's like in the boondocks, you've driven so far.
Yes.
It's hot as balls.
Yes.
Because in California, that's what it takes to grow fruit. And then you're there and it's like, I never have enough water. I've never prepped myself. The kids are like nosebleeds left and right. They're climbing trees with that, you know, it was just always a disaster. And then you come back with like 50 pounds of fruit.
Right.
And you're just eating jam for the rest of the year. But you guys.
My kids, they house fruit. So we've already gone through 2 containers. But actually, I had to pay for a friend because she forgot cash. And then the lady, she weighs all of the cherries and she says, 69. And I said, $1?
Right.
I was shocked at how expensive it was.
Because you think you're going, the benefit is that it's cheaper by the pound.
But it's actually not. Probably is not.
And you had to labor and pick it yourself. Yeah. I always find it's a better idea than in actuality, but sounds like you guys had fun. So
we had a good time. Also, we discovered mulberries last year when we went because there was a farm stand that was selling them. And mulberries, I think, are not as common, so people don't know much about them. But they're long. They look like blackberries, but they're long. But they just taste kind of mind-blowingly good.
Do they taste like a blackberry?
A little bit texture-wise, but they're a little bit sweeter and a little softer. I'm not even sure.
There's a lot of berries.
Right.
Like, there's like zazzleberries.
Yeah,
and
lolliberries.
Yeah.
Zazzleberries. It sounds like...
sounds like a music festival.
Yeah. So I was tempted to take my son again tomorrow to go mulberry picking because he loves it so much. My kid is also like an old man in a 6-year-old's body, except he doesn't know curse words.
Right.
Did you guys do anything fun for the day off?
Well, my little daughter, she goes to a Chinese camp right now. Mm. And you know, a Chinese camp isn't taking a day off.
Right.
It could be a federal holiday. It could be Christmas and that Chinese camp is going.
Yeah.
It is a very progressive Chinese camp. They did teach about Juneteenth in class. We live in a very woke place.
Exactly.
And so even the Chinese camp is woke. That's how you know shit is woke.
Yeah.
If the Chinese camp is woke. But my older one was off, so my husband and I took her. We went on a hike to a beach, and then we had lunch together. It was quite nice. Very peaceful.
Oh, that's the beauty of having older children.
Yeah. She, in fact, my husband and I were just kind of walking quickly on our own on the hike, and then she's like, 20 paces behind. She's like, guys, you know, I'm here too.
Oh.
We're like, oh, wait, forgot. Hurry your ass up. So yeah, that was my day off. It was very relaxing. Speaking of summer, we have some very cute summer moments in these 2 episodes of Lovely Runner.
Oh my gosh. I was squealing.
I mean, these 2 episodes were just corn dog cheese ball. I mean, they laid it on thick.
Thick.
They leaned into it. It was a lot of kind of just the magic of kind of falling in love as teenagers.
Mm-hmm. But also, I think they did a really good job making it funny and light.
Yeah, and every moment where they kind of just had a little romance.
You're like, oh God, here they go, staring deeply into their eyes. And then something happens that really makes you laugh.
So as the episode is beginning, you know, we watch these two sweetie pies. They're spending time together. One of the first scenes is Seol and Sanjay are on their neighboring roofs and she wants him to see a rainbow. So she sprays water, you know, and just is smiling and spraying water. It's like Girls Gone Wild, but just the opposite. She's just, you know, I'm waiting for her to like get her white shirt all wet.
Again, in these shows, these people don't have genitals or any kind of sexual aura.
They're just very innocent. So she's spraying the water. She wants him to see the rainbow. I was literally like, oh no, I don't know if I can handle an hour of this level of schmaltz. Like it was maybe a little bit too much.
Definitely over the top.
But did you like it or was it too much for you?
Well, I enjoyed it because every time I was like, oh God, one of these scenes, then something, you know, like a physical comedy type of moment would happen right after.
Right. After this rainbow spraying scene, her bra flies off of the drying rack and lands in Sanjay's yard.
Yeah.
That is the way that they kind of break the cheesiness with some comedy.
I could not handle this if this was an American TV show.
Oh, no way.
We'd be like, this is so dumb.
Yeah.
But there's something magical. Like, as much as we know it is schmaltzy and just over the top, there's just something so innocent and cute about it that I'm so drawn to.
I know, but it's interesting because I have, you know, now friends who are getting into Korean dramas because of us. And like, I think they're trying things out. And one girlfriend who has never watched a Korean drama before asked me, should I watch this if I've never watched a Korean drama before?
Oof.
And I was like, yeah, I said, no. I was like, you gotta ease your way into this level of Korean drama.
Right.
There's more standard fare, which is more kind of on the drama side. So I always recommend Crash Landing on You.
Yes.
I think that one is a great gateway.
Yes.
It's pretty much a bullseye for people who are just entering this realm. This kind of thing I would not recommend as number one.
You have to be...
You have to get it. Like, you have to know the Korean tropes. Right. You have to like...
Totally.
You have to have seen this before to understand that this is actually quite good.
Could you imagine watching K-drama for the first time and you see the truck of doom and you're like, oh my God, how dramatic.
And then meanwhile, now we're just like, oh boy, kill him already.
What? Sedan Run of doom? Over. Why would you use a sedan? Use the truck to get him.
Though I love this drama, still love it so much. It is these moments of this over the top quattro fromage, like super cheesy moments that I'm like, okay, this isn't maybe not for everybody.
I also, this is about the time I start to get a little bored. And I felt that, I mean, I was of two minds. On one hand, I'm like, oh my God, so cute. And I think they're both great in this drama. On the other side of my brain, I was thinking, I'm getting a little bored. I'm always thinking, 10 more episodes?
Yeah, I mean, would you rather have this overly cute stuff in the story or would you have more shitting your pants storylines?
Oh, I do love some shitting my pants storylines. Well, what was your favorite cute scene? Let's not beat the horse, but was there one that you really liked?
So I loved the time capsule.
The time side capsule? Note to this is that we have a group of Chinese friends and a very small group of Koreans in this friend group. And apparently the Chinese people think now that they can speak Korean. So they're always throwing these random words.
Okay. But I learned time capsule from...
You say it. No, I love the way you say it.
I learned time capsule from My Sassy Girl.
Ooh.
Right? Yes. That was the first time time capsules entered my...
Yes.
Adolescent consciousness. So My Sassy Girl, I looked this up because I was like, when was that movie? Because it came to me in college in 2001.
Yes, right.
It was definitely one of the first breakthrough.
That was.
Korean entertainment, anything that kind of came to the West, right? At that point for our aged people that weren't Korean,
mm-hmm.
they say it started the Hallyu wave.
Oh, did it?
Yeah. Which is What does Hallyu mean?
When people were doing the crossover and it was starting to come infiltrating beyond just Korean Americans and Korean immigrants, it was like people who had never been exposed to that and were
watching Korean drama. And
then these people were also getting roles that were more international.
Yeah, they call it the Hallyu wave. Maybe that movie started it all for me. Like if I hadn't watched that movie and been so into it, I wouldn't have this podcast today. That movie was, you guys haven't watched it, there's, I think, a drama series. That's not what we're talking about. There's a 2001 movie. You guys should go watch it because it's just amazing. I don't know if it's like stands up to time because it like holds such a dear memory in my mind.
Cha Tae-yeon, who is the guy in it, I saw a clip of him recently. He was like working in a restaurant in the States. You know how a lot of these people are doing
these
this
variety
now, a lot of these
shows.
Korean celebrities. Mm-hmm. And a group of older men, older than us, you know, like in their 50s, they sat down, they're like, you look so familiar. And they couldn't place him. And they were Korean American, but they seemed very Americanized. And he was like, my sassy girl? And they shrieked. They were so excited. He's like, Cha Tae-yeon says, I have never met a group of men who've been so excited to see me. Never. But for these men, this was like a coming of age movie.
100%. It was My Sassy Girl that was very formative for me from a Korean culture standpoint. And as I was thinking back to that time, there was also a music video that has stuck with me from that time where the guy gives the girls
his eyeballs.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I know that one. I don't know who it was, but that is also seared into my core memory.
Yeah. I just looked up, I've been looking up what the music video actually was. I typed in Korean music video guy, and literally the first selection was guy gives girl his eyes. So we're not the only ones who remember this music video. This music video that we're talking about is from a band called KISS, a girl group. Because I'm a Girl is the name of it. YouTube it. Watch this video. It's about a photographer and a young lady, and there's like some chemicals.
Cancer or like, yeah, they have some.
No. Chemicals fall into her eyeballs.
That's right. Yes.
At the photography studio.
Oh my gosh.
And then we see her, and then she's fine. But it turns out she sees the photographer later, and he's blind. So he gave her his eyeballs. Ooh, okay, found it. Oh my gosh, guys. Oh.
That just takes me back to being 19.
Let's just sit here and remember our teenage years.
It's so true. Music just transports you.
Yeah. So this is the thing about when I'm saying like people who are coming into Korean dramas.
Right.
So when we've lived with this for 20 years, this storyline in our head, like forming our reality.
Yes.
And so when people are like, should I watch Lovely Runner as my first drama? I'm like, no. You need 20 years of this training to understand how cute Lovely Runner is, you know?
But also how ridiculous.
But we accept it as reality.
Yeah, we accept it.
Because giving somebody your eyeballs that you've barely known after meeting them on the street is totally fine.
Obvious.
My friends and I actually buried a time capsule.
Okay.
My high school friends, inspired by.
Yes. Really? Where did you bury it?
We buried in my friends. There was three of us. We buried it in my friend's mom's backyard because we knew that mom would live there forever.
Oh, yeah.
And we buried it in a tin. We used to go to BJ's Pizzeria a lot. And then we would, you know, have a pizookie. And then we would sit there for hours and we would just like write down predictions for our lives.
Oh my God. Have you guys opened it up?
Yeah. So we opened it up. We had like napkins of like what we predicted everyone would do.
Oh my goodness.
We have photos in there. We had like written each other checks. Like the richest person would have to give the poorest person.
Amazing.
And so, yeah, I think we opened it about 10 years later. That
is
so good.
That's really great. That would be so fun to do again.
I know.
We could open it when we're 80.
Yes. But like, here's our old time capsule.
So you thought that was the cutest scene.
I love the time capsule scene. And I also like that the meaning behind it, because she was like, hey, I buried something for you that's very special. So I'm very curious what this gift is.
Yes.
She says she has a gift in there for him. And then she says, we're going to meet at midnight, January 1st, 2023.
January 1st, 2023 is the day after he commits suicide.
Right.
And so she's trying to prevent that by giving him something to look forward to.
What was your favorite moment?
Okay, my favorite moment was that scene when she was crying from the onions. She was chopping onions with her grandmother. She's crying so hard, but she has a bottle of makgeolli.
Okay, but she had just broken up with Bad Boy.
Oh, right.
And Sanjay knows that she just broke up with Bad Boy. Yes. And he thinks she might be heartbroken over
Yes.
it. But she's crying over these onions.
But he sees her and he's like, what is wrong with you? Don't cry over him. And she's like, no, 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 the onions. And she's sobbing. And then she has a bottle of makgeolli. He thinks that she's trying to get herself wasted because she's so upset, but she's like, this is my grandma's. He doesn't understand. Then her brother sees them from afar and is pissed off, comes charging at him, the bottle of makgeolli goes flying, and like little droplets end up in Sanjay's mouth.
And makgeolli is a rice wine.
Yeah, so and it's unfiltered. It ends up in his mouth, and then she knows, because she knows everything about him. She's like, he can't even have a shot of makgeolli or any kind of alcohol. And he passes out.
It was an insane scene. It was,
yeah.
I was like, this guy might have a concussion.
Right. Yeah.
Bring him to the hospital.
Right. He has a traumatic brain injury.
And they're just like, let's just put him in bed.
Yeah.
And wait this out.
That's how people die. Anyway, so then he passes out. And then she goes over to him at some point thinking, oh, he must be so hot. And also, is he alive? So she puts her hand on his chest to see if his heart is beating. And then he grabs her hand. And then actually what happens after that is even funnier. Then she's under the bed because she doesn't want to get caught because he like kind of wakes up. He finds her. Oh, and by the way, her brother had come into the room and was like lying on the bed. They thought he was asleep. So they're staring at each other lovingly, just panning right into their eyes. And then the brother goes, what are you guys doing?
It was so good.
And then she gets up. She's like, oh, I'm sleepwalking. I'm sleepwalking. Oh, what am I doing? She walks out of the room. It was so funny, so over the top, so
cute, but also cute. Got your heart racing because yeah. They're just like cuddling for the first time.
And in fact, the same thing happened to me recently because, you know, I've talked a lot about my husband snoring on this podcast. So he snores like all the time, all night. And one night he was not snoring. And I swear, I had woken up and I was like, oh my God, he's not snoring. He must be dead. So I put my hand on his chest.
Oh, you did the same thing.
Yeah. I really was like, is he? And I was like looking for his pulse. And he thought I was like, you know, trying to get some. He's like, oh, what? And I was like, oh, I thought you were dead. Okay, you're alive. I turn around.
He's like, nope. That's pretty cute, but it's so different between a married couple versus this high school couple. There is another insanely cute scene when he's trying to teach her to ride a bike.
Ah, yes.
They like basically get into a fight because he loses his patience with her. It's very cute. They're like yelling at each other. But they are riding their bike around this lake. It's very scenic where they're filming it. So we're watching and we're like, oh, we've been there. This is this fortress right outside of Seoul.
Oh.
And there's this town. I think it's a UNESCO heritage site.
Oh, wow.
But if anybody wants a day trip out of Seoul, it's quite nice. It's called Suwon. And they have this fortress there, and they're known for this fried chicken alley. So we went there, had fried chicken, quite good. It's like, you know, one of these places where you just get a pile of chicken. There's like nothing else but chicken on the menu. Delicious.
There's a show on Netflix called Korean Fried Chicken Rhapsody, and they're just focused on Korean fried chicken. And they cited like an insane number of chickens that are eaten per day in Korea because people just love fried chicken out there.
It's my father-in-law's vice. Like,
oh, yeah. That's like my father-in-law too.
That's all he wants is fried chicken. And he only gets it when we visit.
Right.
Despite the two of them, Seol and Sanjay, being adorable as hell in these two episodes, the couple I stand the most these two episodes was Sanjay and Bad Boy Taesung.
Oh,
those two were like fireworks between them.
I know. They've got some chemistry.
I feel like we need a couple name for them. Sunsung? Jaetae? They finally come together. We haven't really seen them interact. In a scene
together, yeah.
But Sanjay one morning gives Seol his tie from his school uniform because she forgot it.
Right.
So he like takes his off.
Right.
Puts it over her head.
Ugh.
Dead. Again, dead.
Melting.
So now, because he doesn't have his proper uniform, Sanjay has to run laps. And Taesung, Bad Boy, always runs laps because he never wears his uniform.
Right.
And so they catch up to each other on the racetrack. And it could have been very antagonistic, but it was really cute. He challenges him to a foot race. He loses. They're very playful with each other. I really loved this couple.
Yeah. I don't think Taesung is that good looking, but he just exerts a lot of like kind of this masculine energy.
but also sensitive.
Yes. And I think the two of them in a scene together is great to watch. And them at the water spout.
They're kind of challenging each other, but not in too much of like a macho turnoff way.
Yeah.
Fan fiction needs to be written about this couple.
About the two of them with their shirts off. Oh, and then there's a scene where Sunjay is tempted to look at Taesung's profile on like Naver or something, which is the equivalent of a Facebook. And he must have accidentally looked at it. And then Taesung gets a notification. So he sends him a little gift and like, hey, you like browsing my site or looking at my profile?
That's mortifying.
Yeah, so mortifying. Actually, I have this really funny story of my friend who went on a date with somebody and wanted to look him up on Facebook. So she goes to not the search bar, but the status bar and types in his name.
And pushes enter.
And I think they were maybe Facebook friends at this point. And presses enter. So then her profile just says that person's name. So she said she immediately shut down her Facebook. She said, delete my profile because she was so mortified.
It wasn't just like edit, delete. It was shut it down.
Shut it down. Shut it down.
Wow.
And actually, I remember back in the day when Zanga started to show you who was looking at your site, I would always be like, why are these people looking at my stuff? I mean, a little bit creepy, but then I would do the same thing too.
But even on LinkedIn today, want people knowing I'm trolling there.
Yeah.
Yeah. We want to be voyeurs and spy on people. We just don't want them to know we're doing it, obviously.
Right.
So a lot of cute moments between all of the couples and some imaginary couples in our heads. A lot of the Olympics dominate episode 5, which is very timely because we are in pre-Olympics right now. So we've been watching a lot of swim trials on TV.
Yeah. And the people that were featured were actually big stars in those games, Beijing games. I mean, your husband must know better because I think he follows Korean athletes more. But even that woman bodybuilder, she's very popular, but I looked her up and she was the inspiration for that drama weightlifting fairy, Kim Bok-ju.
Oh.
I never watched that drama, so I don't know what the storyline is, but they said that she was the inspiration.
Yeah, no, everything that happened on the show, I think happened really in real life in 2008. Yeah. It was a big year for Korea, you guys. Think the biggest one was winning the gold medal for that swimmer.
For swim,
Park Tae-won, I think
Park
his Tae-won. Name.
Yeah. And so when you referenced it last week, saying that he was the one that was in the original scene when he was racing against Sunjay.
Yeah. So he made a cameo here.
I didn't realize that.
Who won the 2008 gold medal in 400 meter freestyle. And I think it's just a huge deal.
Oh, that was a huge deal because to have a Korean beat an American in swimming was unheard of. And to win the gold, that was very cool. When, let's say, Taiwan and America are head-to-head, who would you cheer for?
Always America.
Really?
Yeah, always. My husband, who's grown up in many different countries, he picks U.S. last. So he's grown up in Mexico. He would always root for Mexico, like in soccer.
Yeah.
Korea, obviously, is his number one. Yeah. But he'll always pick Mexico even above the U.S. And I'm always U.S.
You
first.
Always use, even if it's, okay, so obviously
no.
You
I have no ties.
No ties to China either.
No, mm-mm. No.
What about if it was Korea against America? You still root for America?
Oh, yeah. Because the last thing I need is more of you Koreans being like, oh, we're the best, Daehamniguk. Okay, but also I have a story. There was, you guys were in the World Cup.
Yes, that was such a, the reg.
Yeah, and then you guys, I forget what year it was, but I think I was in college and I came home and all my home friends, my high school friends, we went to Koreatown into a parking lot and had the red shirts.
5 in the morning or something crazy, right?
Yeah, and they had exactly the same scene as they're watching the baseball game in the show.
Daehamniguk.
With the little clapper things. That exact scene, but I did that with my friends in a parking lot in K-Town for a soccer game. So, you know, when I'm swept up in the collective hometown pride, I'll go with some Koreans to a parking lot to cheer. But no, I would always root for the U.S. So if it was U.S., Korea, who would you root for?
Oh, Korea. Absolutely.
Wow. Interesting.
1,000%. So 2008, I think, was a very exciting year for Korea. And that scene where they're rooting for baseball, it was hilarious because did you see the kids that were next to Sunjay and Seol?
No.
their noses were painted with the baseball and the Korean flag. It was, you have to go back and rewind it. Maybe I'll post that as our podcast update on Instagram. It was so funny. I don't know why they would do that.
They're that proud. The Olympics happening brings out a nice moment for Seol and Sungjae, because Seol and even Sungjae's dad are very worried that he won't react well to seeing his rival on the world stage at the Olympics. So his dad is watching the Olympics on TV, but he's hiding it every time Sungjae walks in. And he says to his dad, stop being so extra, so oba.
Oba, that is classic Korean phrase. When you're over the top, you go, so oba. That's what my brother says to me all the time.
So now my husband's going around being like, you're an oba ajumma. Don't be an oba ajumma. Seol takes him out on a movie to try to distract him. And it's a really cute walk around town because it's playing everywhere. So she's trying to like get in front of him to block the view.
Or she'll like grab his face and turn it towards her.
She takes him to the movie theater, and there he actually watches the race where Park Tae-hwan wins the gold medal. Yeah. And she thinks he's going to be really crushed about it. And he's like, no, I would have done it all over again. Swimming gave me such joy. Mm. So even if I couldn't do it at the Olympics, I'm still so happy I did it. And I really think this is the first moment that she learned something about him that she didn't read on the internet.
Right.
Like, it was actually him being vulnerable to her and her seeing a side of him that she had not known as a fan.
Also, I think this is a really beautiful lesson. It's really what's embodied in Inside Out, is that, you know, you have to have the joy and you have to have the sadness to know the joy, you know? A funny story about Inside Out, because Inside Out 2 just came out.
The Pixar movie.
Yeah, Pixar movie. Uh-huh. And the Inside Out 2 is about the girl turning into a teenager. So it's all about anxiety.
Right.
So my son went to watch it, and he comes home. He's like, he has all these thoughts about anxiety, which I was like, I don't know if it was a good idea to expose you to this so early. But we were joking that my husband saw something on TikTok about Inside Out 3 is likely going to be about adulthood and about depression.
Who wants to see
about
that?
The lack of joy, about addiction, and about taking substances to fill the void. So sad.
Yeah, Inside Out 3 is going to have a character named Pills.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
His name is Xanax. So many things happened in episode 5. I'm still going down the list. We also see Sungjae's fate towards idoldom. It's like still on track because there's like a Battle of the Bands type competition.
Yes.
And the Eclipse lead singer is missing.
Well, also he was a terrible singer.
Right. Also bad. So then Sungjae's best friend, who is the guitar player, calls him to fill in last minute. And he comes up on stage.
Of course.
Omo, omo, omo. Otoke.
He's got the voice of an angel.
How could he look so good? And how does he know the words?
Right. But you know why he did it? To get Seol a free flip phone.
A handphone.
Handphone.
Okay, this reminded me of you.
Oh, God. I'm scared.
Gets her this free flip phone to replace her phone that she lost at the reservoir, okay? He gets her a free phone, everyone.
Oh, I know where this is going.
And you know what she does? She bitches at him. Why are you thinking about me? Don't give me a phone. Concentrate on yourself. Like, don't worry about me, okay? This is what she does. Does this not remind you of a story, guys, where Juliet, her dad, this was, 2 years ago? So you're an old-ass woman. You're not a child.
That's right.
Yeah. Your father gives you a brand new iPhone, 10?
It was 13 at the time.
Yeah. Brand new iPhone. And by all accounts, you yelled at him.
I said, why did you get me this color? This is not what I wanted. Also, why did you get me a phone? I never asked for a phone. But truly, I never asked for it. It just showed up. And I said, I didn't need a phone.
Yeah, but...
But you know, like the intent behind it was like, why did you spend this money? I didn't need it. You should have saved it for yourself. That was her. She's like, you got to take care of you.
Yeah, but like, this is a gift. It only comes with good intentions. Your dad is like, I thought of my daughter. And look, I wanted to buy her a beautiful new phone. What color was it? Why was it so offensive, that color? What color was it?
I mean, it was blue.
Yeah, that's a gorgeous. My phone is blue. Anyway, that is just... We crack up over that story because it's just classic Juliet. And her husband's like, that's my life. and do nice things, and I just get yelled at. Same with Sol and Sanjay. But because of this phone that he wanted to get her, he gets on stage and talks to a manager. Yes. And so it seems like he's still down the road to
right.
idoldom.
So no matter what she does, like she had previously ripped up the entertainment guy's contact card because she thought, okay, then he won't go down this road of becoming an idol. But like his fate is almost determined, you know, yeah. It's going to happen one way or another.
He's too good looking not to become
exactly.
an idol.
Exactly. In Korea, I feel like if you're just a little bit good looking,
You're there. I mean, the universe wants this boy to be an idol. So that's a lot of episode 5 and a lot of cute moments in episode 6. The other big storyline in episode 6 is that Sol's mom, you know, you think she's going on dates. She's going to Jeju. I literally wrote, ooh, Oma getting some ass in Jeju. Handsome Ajashi with his Hyundai.
She's getting some pork butt.
Black pork on Jeju Island.
Some butt action.
Turns out, no. She's at the hospital. She has cancer.
Oh, gosh.
Someone's got to have cancer.
Someone has to have cancer.
And someone has to have dementia.
Yeah.
Both of those have been hit in this drama.
Every drama. Again, an American watching this would be like, what is happening? How could all these tragedies be happening to one person? But no, it's in every drama.
But the cancer is like such a throwaway.
It now is like, oh, obviously.
And she's totally fine.
Yeah.
But it brings a moment in the hospital where Sanjay has now officially Kobek confessed to her like multiple times.
Yes.
And she hasn't given him an answer. They're at the hospital and she rejects him.
Yep.
And I have to say, bravo.
Mm-hmm.
How could you look at that face and say, I don't want to be with you?
She believes they're not going to get together because they're not together in their like the original 2023 life. That she's like, okay, it's not helpful to have this right now. I'm not going to last here forever anyway.
I'm going to disappear.
Yeah, 2 more days or whatever.
I just told you that I'd be your girlfriend and in a few days I'm going to disappear. And 2008/9 me isn't going to know who you are.
Yeah.
And that's very heartbreaking. There's also this seed in her brain from her best friend who's like, yeah, of course he likes you because you've been leading him on.
Yes. You threw yourself at him, basically.
Basically. And she was doing it to protect him. But on the outside, it looked like she was like, I mean, she literally screamed, I love you to him the first time she saw him and hugged him. And so she's like, oh, you're right. Those actions were not meant to be flirtatious, but I led him on.
However, we start episode 6 with this scene again at the radio station in the 2023 life where Sanjay is playing this song that he had written called Shower.
Of course.
The translation is Shower. I don't know what it is in English, but he had said to the radio DJ, yeah, this was about my first love. And I like saw her with a yellow umbrella, yada, yada, yada. And at the end of episode 6, she finally makes the connection. Oh, that was me.
And that happened in the prior life.
Right. Before she threw herself at him.
So now at the end of episode 6, she has told him, I don't want to see you anymore. He pings her on AIM. Let's talk. Meet me at the park. And then she has this realization that he actually liked her before any of this happened in the new timeline.
Yep.
So she runs out in the rain. She has her yellow umbrella. As she's going to the park where he's waiting for her, the taxi rolls up. And all we see at the end of episode 6 is Sanjay finds her yellow umbrella outside her door, laying askew. He also kind of sees a taxi go by and maybe has a bad feeling.
It looks a little suspicious to him, so he's staring at it, then decides to walk back home and sees the umbrella.
And that's it. That's the end of episode 6. So the what's up with is this taxi driver. We had seen him kind of trolling around the reservoir. He's definitely up to no good.
Yeah.
He's an eye twitch. Well, like, you know, he can't be more villainous.
If you've watched enough Law & Order SVU or CSI, you know the criminal's always lurking at the crime scene. So all these people are at the reservoir like, oh my gosh, there was a dead body there. And she hears the jangling of the keychain. It triggers a memory from her previous, previous kidnapping, where she remembers that jingle.
He has her cell phone and he calls, it must say home on the phone. Actually, it reminds me like, you know, when you're valeting your car and most people have like garage access in their car and these valets know you're not home and all they have to do on your GPS is push in home. Anyway, so this guy has her cell phone. He calls home and Granny picks up. And Granny's like, yo, Buseo, what information do you want?
You know, this is
me?
When she needs dementia and she's like, oh, I don't know where I live.
Exactly. No, she's like, I'm very clear of mine. Do you want my address? How about my social security number? What else do you want? So now taxi driver knows where she lives.
Yep.
And that's how we come to the end of episode 6.
Right. What's up with?
What's up with? So many things. What we do know is we love the show.
Next episodes look pretty good. The preview was, it looks like, almost like she's become like an idol's girlfriend.
Or she definitely is walking. She's definitely got her legs on.
She's looking really chic.
Mm-hmm. She doesn't have that cheesy bangs.
Yeah, she doesn't have that cheesy headband on anymore.
She's obviously like a very cute girl, but her haircut in high school really does no service. Really the most horrific haircut.
Oh my gosh, okay, seriously, what is up with the mushroom head?
The best friend's haircut. It's insane.
It's so crazy. Again, an American person watching this would be like, what the fuck is happening?
She's like a character out of another show because everybody else looks totally normal.
Yeah. I know. And I know she's cute because in the first episode, she's an adult and she has a normal haircut. But wow, this really does no favors.
I know. But it also just makes her very comical as a character.
Right.
The way her face is as she's watching Seol and Sunjay in the library. The way she reacts to Seol's brother because she now has a crush on him because he covered her ass when she shat herself. Let's all remind ourselves of that storyline. She's a great B storyline.
Yes, right.
Character.
Right.
The other only fun thing, I keep being like, the only other, like 10, the only others.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, so much happened in these episodes. Not a whole lot to progress the storyline, but it was a fun, they were fun to watch.
Yeah. They're studying a lot in this like library.
Yes. I mean.
But it looks like almost like a.
It's just like a study hall.
Yeah. And it just, you know, everyone has their little cubicles and the walls are up and they've kind of have their papers all around. It just reminded me of studying in college and how fun it was.
Yes. I mean, I didn't get a lot of studying done.
Me neither. We would just go and
have
fun and hang out and eat food and just goof off.
Yeah. And I also slept a lot in the library. I would just like fall asleep while quote unquote studying. But in Korea, in high school especially, this is their life. They go to school and then they go to these like after school hagwons and study halls until like 10, 11 p.m.
Yeah, because the entrance exam, which they talk a lot about in these two episodes, is basically going to make or break your life, right? Yeah.
And if you don't do well, some people then just take like a gap year to continue studying. Because if you, it's not like you can go to like, you know,
community college.
And
get into a 4-year or something like that.
Yeah. Or succeed in life. Like, it's so impossible.
Right. There are very few jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And too many people.
Yeah.
And so the competition to get in. So basically, the only people who get good jobs are people who go to the top universities, which are like our Harvards. Yep. It's basically our Ivy Leagues, right? And so it's so competitive to get in. And it's so competitive even after I saw a woman on TikTok. She was saying, you know, the reason why all these young women get plastic surgery, it's not because they want to look like idols. It's because they need to look pretty to get ahead in the corporate world.
Yeah.
Because ultimately there is this pretty bias.
Also, when you apply for a job, you have to attach your picture. Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
Think about like bias rules in America. That would never happen, but it does happen.
Well, we see Malcolm Gladwell is like, if you have a ethnic name on your resume, right, it's kind of stacked against you because we have these internal biases. A John Smith over a Baek Hyun-woo or somebody is going to be favored.
But if he attached his picture, he would get
Baek Hyun-woo would get
the job over a dowdy John Smith.
Yes, he would get any job he wants.
Yeah, it's a terrible part of the culture that it's so vain.
This is why people ask if we'll ever move to Korea. And I just don't think
I would not want my kids through that. I don't want my kids to be in that environment. And and I mean, I want them to have the culture and like know the culture, but I don't think it's a culture that I want them steeped in.
Right. Bring them to the palace, put them in their hanboks, exactly. Take a few photos and come
eat
home.
Some fried chicken.
Yeah.
And then we'll come home.
Right. Okay. That was episodes 5 and 6 of Lovely Runner. We have episodes 7 and 8 next week. Cannot wait to see what's going to happen. Now that we're out of the cheesy filler episodes, hopefully we'll get a little bit more plot action. Have a great week. Thanks.
Bye.